Well, if you open your Bible, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're back in the middle of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read some verses from chapter 11. Just the first six verses of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. This is the word of God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Amen. And we ask for the Lord's blessing. And do keep your Bible open at that passage this morning. Cast your bread upon the waters. For after many days, you will find it again. It is a famous verse, I think you will agree. What does it actually mean? Well, when you're trying to find out what anything means in the Bible, you always have to read it in its context. And without going into all the details at all this morning, What I would say to you is that this verse, this part of Ecclesiastes, is set in the context of a section where the writer is speaking about how life is unpredictable. If you have your Bible, just glance back to chapter 9, for example, and see what it says there in verses 11 and 12. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 says this, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. And in that section, in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, the writer is literally speaking, and you can study it for yourself. He's speaking about how life is so unpredictable. Life is so uncertain. No man knows when his hour may come. Now, in life, you can let that kind of thought do one of two things for you. You can allow a thought like that to almost paralyze you into doing nothing. And you sit in the corner almost waiting for the hour to come. Or you can allow that biblical thought to spur you into life and to do all that you can for God and for good. That is part of the context of this cast your bread on the waters. And again, just to tell you, if I was to summarize Ecclesiastes 10, Ecclesiastes 10 is actually a call to be wise, to be sensible in life, and that we must be. But when we get to chapter 12, that is balanced with this thought that whilst we need to be wise and sensible in life, there's a time that we need to launch out and literally cast our bread upon the waters to seize the day, to seize the opportunity that God presents to us. And in this first section of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, there is mention of those things that we can do nothing about. You will know by now that life is full of things, that there's not one thing that either you and I can do about it. Look at what the writer says. For example, in verse 3, he speaks of the clouds being full of rain. Verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they pour rain, or full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. That's just what happens. There's not a thing that you and I can do about that. He uses another illustration here. He talks about a tree that falls over. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. It can fall this direction. It can fall in that direction. There's not a thing you can do about that. That's just life. And the question that the writer is asking here is this. Will you allow the unpredictability of life, and if I can even use this language, the random things of life, the clouds coming and pouring rain on the top of you, the tree falling this way or the tree falling that way, will you allow those things to stifle you, to hem you in? Will you, to follow on what the writer is saying here, look at verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Do you see what's coming through there? There's this idea that some people could be tempted to say, well, life is so unpredictable. Life is so random. I'll just stand here and really not do very much. And the writer says, is that the way you're going to go out into life? Watching the wind? Looking at the clouds? Or will you realize, verse 5, that actually there's a whole lot of things in life that you don't understand? Look at verse 5. As you do not know the path of the wind. Who of us knows the path of the wind? Not one of us. Or who of us really fully understands how the body is formed in a mother's womb? So you cannot understand the work of God. Now, what the writer is saying here is something really very important. He's saying, just in the same way that you can't predict a whole lot of things, you don't know the path of the wind, you cannot understand the work of God, but you just have to press on with life. You'll either be stifled and made to sit in a corner and paralyzed by all of that, or you'll get on with things. You can hold on to your bread, your resources, or you can go out and spread them. Commentators discuss and have discussed exactly what that phrase, cast your bread in the waters, has meant. Some think it's literally referring to people who have grain and they send their shipments of grain across the sea. Cast your bread upon the waters. Send it out. Send it out to different places. Don't put your eggs in the one basket. Send it out in lots of different directions. Give portions to 7, yes to 8. Some people think it's talking about plain generosity. But folks, here's the point of it all. Here is basically what it's saying. It is saying this: do not be overly cautious. Launch out. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity. There are times, dare I say, that we are even to throw caution to the wind. One writer says this, I don't have it on the screen, but listen carefully. He says this: we may not always be able to calculate the return of our actions. We may not know when our investments will, or even if they will, give us a return. But we need to invest in any case. We'll never make a profit unless we take the risk. Let's not hug our resources, our gifts, our opportunities protectively to ourselves for fear that we might lose them. That's the principle that's being taught here. It's the same principle that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, where he said this: the measure that you give, will be the measure that you receive. It's the same principle that Jesus taught when he said in John chapter 12 to those around him, he who wants to save his life will lose it. And if you lose your life for me and for the gospel, then you'll save it. It's the same principle that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says, those who sow generously will reap generously. So folks, we are to launch out. We're to seize the gospel opportunity. We're to cast our bread upon the waters. And what does this mean, you say? What does it mean in a practical way? Well, here we are at the edge of the mission. It doesn't seem that long ago that the mission seemed to be months away. Now it's days away, days away. And this principle of cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. It could be applied in lots of different ways. It could be applied into the whole realm of you and I, if we're professed to know the Lord Jesus, going out and bearing witness to people, telling them about Jesus, telling them about their need to come to Christ. It's the greatest need in their life. They may not see that, they may not believe it, but it is. Because there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to flee from, and they need Christ. And we're to cast our bread upon the waters. And after many days, in God's time, it will come back. We could think about that. We could think about praying. We could think about the people that we need to be praying for. In that sense, casting our bread upon the waters of prayer. And in God's time, it will come back to us. How many people here praying for a loved one you're tempted to give up? Don't give up. Don't give up. Cast your bread upon the waters. Continue to bring your loved ones to the Lord in prayer, and after many days it will return. Do you believe that? I do believe it. But just for a moment, I want in a very simple way just to remind you, and here's a way in which you and I, every single one of us here this week, can cast your bread on the water by inviting people to the mission. I'm not going to take time to go through all of this, and I think there's plenty of leaflets out there still and posters and all the rest of it. But can I ask you, is there somebody still that you are wanting to invite and you just haven't got round to it? To be honest, you haven't picked up the courage to do it. You're maybe worried that they'll say, well, I'm not going. Well, if they say that, that's fine. They're entitled to say that. It's very sad, of course. But don't be put off asking people just because they might not come. Go out and cast your bread upon the waters. The Sunday services are well documented. The first Sunday when Scott Woodburn will be preaching morning and evening, and the next two Sundays when Albert Baxter will be preaching morning and evening. Or maybe you want to invite somebody to that first Monday night, the 9th, where Scott Woodburn will testify. It's a very dramatic story. He stood here a month or so ago and there were audible gasps as he told the congregation that he had lost over 13 stone. It's a bit of a story, but Scott is not going to just talk about that. He'll talk about another change in his life. Will you invite people to that? On the Tuesday night when Stuart Elliott goes over to the hall and gives a wee bit of a testimony about his life, and there'll also be a chance, young folk, I was going to say young boys, but girls as well, you've maybe been practicing your crossbar challenge as well. There'll be a chance to actually take on Stuart. You think you can beat him at that, there'll be a chance. So it's not just all sitting. Will you invite some of your friends to that? I think they'll really enjoy it. And then on Wednesday evening, a farming community, you may not be John Deere men, but George Conn from the Faith Mission is coming to speak a wee bit about the John Deere story. This man who was a bit of an engineering genius, but he also knew the Lord Jesus. Will you bring people along to that at the primary school to hear something of the gospel? Thursday evening, an interesting evening just upstairs. We've got some of our neighbours from Kirknara coming up to do a little bit of Scottish dancing. And then we have another group, some of you may have seen them, a very fine Christian group called the Zephaniah Dancers, led by Deborah Anderson, who is a wonderful testimony of how the Lord saved her. And she will testify. And the girls will sing and do a little bit of dancing, and Scott will be speaking. And then on the Friday evening, we've got the family fun evening, food and all of that. Fun and food. You want people to come to something, tell them there's a whole lot of food, and there will be plenty of lovely desserts that night. And Scott, again, will be speaking about the gospel. Over the weekend, we've got various young people's events, Saturday night up in gyms for the young people, and then on Sunday night, the youth rally again with Scott. And then, folks, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but the second week, you know all of this. But what I'm trying to do is this, to try and encourage you to go out and to say to people, and I believe that there are people whom God will put on your hearts this morning. And maybe you hadn't actually even intended to invite them to some of these things. But as a result of this and the challenge of cast your bread upon the waters, you will go and you will do it. That second week, some really interesting isn't even the right word. Some really moving stories. David Glass, the first evening, will talk about the challenge of science and Christianity and religion. And again, Albert will be preaching the gospel. The Tuesday night, John Mosey, who many of us know about tragedy in life, and John has known tragedy in his life. His daughter was on the Lockerbie plane that was blew out of the sky. An awful tragedy. And John is a Christian, a very fine Christian man, and he has agreed to come from England to tell a little bit about how he has coped with that tragedy. Wednesday evening, Jackie Burke, in the midst of, we live in a town, and I'm always saying to you, don't be living in cloud cuckoo land, be awake to what's going on. Jackie Burke was a man who lived in the world of drugs and drink for many years, and he came to realize that it was an empty vessel, it was an empty cistern. And he has come to realize that now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. Come and hear Jackie. Invite your friends to come and hear, and again, Albert will preach. Thursday evening, life is very unfair. Life is, in many ways, unfair. Life is full of tragedies. Life is full of things that we can never get our head around. You don't need me to elaborate on that on a weekend like this. Michael Davidson will come and share about the sensitive subject, and it is a sensitive subject, of how he lost his father. His father was murdered. They knew who did it. Nobody was brought to justice. Very hard. How does a person cope with that? How do you deal with that in life? Michael has agreed to come very kindly to share about that sensitive subject. Invite your friends to that. Albert will preach. And then on the Friday evening, Seamus Burke, who's over in Rough Ryland, some of you know Seamus, brought up a very religious young lad, very devout lad. But it was only when he went to Australia that he found the Lord Jesus as his personal Lord and Saviour. And Seamus has again kindly agreed to come and tell a wee bit of that story. And then Albert will preach. Folks, I deliberately take time to share those things, because I want you to know, as you do know, this is a gospel mission. This is not some gimmick. Not at all. This is something deadly serious. This is an event where each and every evening will be centered supremely on the gospel. Because we are longing for people to come to know Christ, to be saved, converted, born again, redeemed, whatever word you want to use, that's what we long for. Because that's what this church is about. So I simply appeal to you, and I'm going to finish now. I appeal to you, as you've been doing. I think we've been doing really well, pulling together as a team. Let's continue to do that. Over these next coming weeks, let's cast our bread upon the waters. For after many days, you will find it again. I believe God is already at work. God will work out the mission. Not because I say it, but because we have sought the Lord and we have prayed. And God will work after the mission. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. A short prayer and then we close with our hymn. Lord, we're looking forward to the mission. In many ways, it's not our mission, it's yours. You're the God of salvation, and we are simply called to be faithful. Help us to be faithful, and help us even this coming week, and over these coming weeks, to go out and to cast the gospel bread upon the waters with the quiet assurance that in your time, it will come back. Lord, may that be our confidence, and we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.